Thank you all so much for being in our group today. I've looked forward to this meeting, and I hope that you all have looked forward to it. There will be a lesson tonight, sort of designed, and I would encourage all of our young people that are in our group today, please come back tonight, because the lesson that I will talk to you about tonight, the lesson I used the other day, and I think that I think you will enjoy it. I think all of you that are young, and those of you who are middle-aged, and those of you even are older, will enjoy it as well. But please come back tonight, and let's talk about something that I feel very strongly about. But today, I'm going to begin this gospel meeting with finding a new direction. Now, someone said, "Preacher, you're going to take us somewhere we haven't been?" No, you're probably going to hear some of the same verses of Scripture you've heard in the past. But I'll promise you, by the time I'm finished today, you will know more about finding a new direction in life. It may be that the reason I'm preaching this sermon is because a lot of us are not in the proper direction in our lives. And by that, I mean that there are some of us who are not practicing some of the things that I'm talking about right now today. So let's begin our lesson today in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and at verse 24. First of all, help us, Lord, to find patience. I wonder if any of us in this room have enough of that to go around. If you do, I'd like to borrow a little bit from you. Let's talk a little bit about patience. You know, there are a lot of us in this room and a lot of people in our society today that just need a lot more of patience. So I want us to find a new direction in which to go, to find more patience in our life. Now let's talk about that for just a moment. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. He said, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. Now let me share with you something that I found out in my lifetime on this earth. There are some people that it's awful hard to be patient with. Everybody agree with that? Shake your head if you're into my lesson. Yes, there are some people that's awful hard to be patient with. Some people are very difficult. Some people are very difficult even to talk to. And boy, howdy boy, there are some people that's so very difficult from the standpoint of just being patient with, it's almost impossible. But whenever you read that passage of Scripture, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, that means you're not going to have to put forth so much to the point that you can't make it. We're going to have to find ourselves gentle unto all men. And that means even for those that are sometimes very difficult to be patient with. You know, how many times have you been behind somebody going down the road? And boy, I'm going to tell you, I've been scolded a number of times by my wife and my son about my situation. But it'll be going down the road, and I'm one of these people. And they'll be driving the speed limit. You know, there are not many people do that anymore. Have y'all ever noticed that? There are not many people that do that much anymore. They don't drive the speed limit much. But you're behind a person that's seemingly driving the speed limit. And that person behind them is just going wild. I mean, they're out and in, and they're up on their backside, and they're backing off. And, you know, their situation is they're impatient. I don't know where they're going or why it is that they think they've got to be there immediately, but I'll tell you what, that's one of those difficult situations where when you look in your mirror and you see that person, you're just hoping and praying they don't run you off the road, run into you, or try to kill you some way or another with their foolish driving tactics. But my point today is finding a new direction. And first of all, with our first point of the day, I want us to be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. I want us to find more patience in our life, to do the things that we know that we need to do to be pleasing in the sight of God. And if we are a person that can find enough patience to deal with people who are very, very difficult sometimes to deal with, we will be a better servant in the kingdom of God. Amen. There are a lot of people, when it comes to being older, who don't move near as fast as they used to. There are a lot of people who cannot do the things that they once could do. And I'll tell you, young people, this is to y'all as well. Sometimes when you're around older people, be very careful to be patient. Whenever you're in a food line and there's somebody in front of you that don't seem like in a million years they're going to get out of your way quick enough for you to get a bite on your plate, you're going to have to learn to be a little more patient. when there's somebody that's moving in front of you and they're trying to get in a door or out of a door and they're just not moving hardly as fast as you'd like for them to move, you're going to have to learn to be a little more patient. Whenever there's somebody that can't see hardly as well as they used to, and they're having a very difficult time in their vision, or they're having a difficult time and they're having to get close up to listen to what's being said, I want you to be very careful to understand this new direction in which I want you to go is that from today on, I want you to find more patience. I want you to look around you. I taught my son something the other day. You know, Matthew's a big old strong boy now. He's almost 20 years old and attempting to be a doctor. And Matthew's one of these kids that for a long time, he never understood why his dad was so very difficult with him, very hard on him. But I told him, I said, son, when you're around people, you look and see if there's something there that you can do to help someone. If there's an elderly person that needs that door open, make sure you get that door open for them. If there's somebody that needs to go in ahead of you, make sure that you let them go in ahead of you. If there's somebody there that needs their plate fixed and you carry it to them before you eat a bite, you do so. Because this is service in the kingdom. Can you imagine Jesus and what he would do when it comes to patience? And to the understanding that we need to have of how to be more patient with our fellow man and how to be more patient in our lives. So whenever you read that verse, he said, the servant of the Lord must not strive. He said, but be gentle unto all men. Be very careful next time you see someone that's difficult to be patient with, to be patient with them. Out to teach, teaching yourselves of the patience that you need to go to heaven and patient in all things. Let's go to our point number two. I have seven very important points today in this new direction. First of all, I want you to leave here today a more patient person. But number two, help us to walk the walk of righteousness. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, as I prepared this lesson for this particular gospel meeting, I began to think of how important it is to preach the gospel. Nothing more, nothing less. What matters is these things that's written in God's book. If they're not written here, they don't matter a whole lot. Because these are the things and the tools that we're going to have to go to heaven when this life is over. There's nothing in the world that you can find in any other place recorded in our society today as important as the things that's written in God's book. Now, let me tell you something. Help us to walk the walk of the righteous. How is it that we're going to know if whether or not we're right in the things that we're doing? It's going to be written in this book. If it's written here, we need to do it. And we need to practice it. But if it's not here, let us not add to. Let us not take from it. For we well know of the plague that this will propose in our lives when we stand before God in judgment. I think more than anything, in order for us to understand what truly is right, we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We must look into the pages of God's book and take it and accept it for what it is. Nothing more, nothing less. Let us walk the walk of the righteous. He said in Philippians 2:15 that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, he said, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation among whom you shine, he said, even as lights in this world. Now, young people, I'm speaking to you right now. Have you noticed all of the things that are in this world that are harmful to you? Have you noticed all of the crooked and the perverse things that people are attempting for us to try to accept in our lives? They are not godly things. Whenever you hear things that are talked about like same-sex marriages and people shudder whenever you hear those things mentioned, those things are ungodly. Whenever you hear things talked about like that of an abortion, that is an ungodly practice. If you walk the walk, you must also suffer the consequences. If there's a little child that's going to be brought into this world, it's going to be a life with a soul. It's going to be your responsibility to take care of it and to watch after it and to make sure that it has the fundamentals and the tools to go to heaven when this life is over. I spoke with a young lady the other day who is 16 years old. She came to talk to me about the fact that she is 4 months pregnant. She wanted me to go with her to her mom and her dad to tell them about what has happened to her. And she said, you know, there are a lot of people, Brother Gary, that's telling me that I need to go have an abortion. I said, no, sir, not at all. We're going to mom and dad. We're going to talk to God as well. And we're going to look at this problem that we face, and we're going to work through it. And I know it's going to be all right, for God will bless that individual. Those mistakes sometimes that we make, they're very difficult and they're a challenge in our lives. And I think we need to walk the walk that is right. And I think that it's right in the sight of God to look at those things and the consequences of them and to make sure that we make the right choice. Whenever you read that verse of Scripture, and he said, like the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, there are nobody that's walking on the face of the earth today that I know about that hasn't done something that they shouldn't have done. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There are people in this world that think they're above, but let me tell you something, they're not at all above that thing called sin. So whenever you think about it, when people are so judgmental and so quick to point the finger and so very quick to react, to say what they would or wouldn't do, if they've not been there, they don't know what they would or they wouldn't do. So for that I would tell you, in our new direction today, let us walk the walk of the righteous. Let us make the good choices that we know that we must make. We must consult and look at what Jesus would do in every decision that we have to make in our lives. And so when it is that we're in a crooked and a perverse nation in the which we dwell today, we can still do the right thing. We don't have to do the wrong thing. We can preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, and people fought and died that we might be able to do that. And we can make the right choice in our lives. When young people make the wrong choice, when older people make the wrong choice, they suffer the consequences of those things. So it's very important for us to look at the walk of the righteous. Do the right thing. Make the right choice. Let's look at our point number 3. Not only do I want to take in the direction of finding more patience, not only do I want to take you in the direction of walking in righteousness, but I want to share something else with you today that I feel strongly about. Help us to maintain self-control more so than ever before. Anybody in this room ever lost control before? Oh, I have. You know, I don't mind to do that. To tell you that I've lost control. Now, I do mind to lose control, but I don't mind to tell you that from time to time, people lose control. Let me tell you something that people have forgotten to tell you about. And you can go out and share this and say, Brother Gary told me this, and I know this is right because this is going to come from God's Word. People lose control in all aspects of their life. Sometimes people lose control of their thought process. Now, let me share with you what I'm talking about. Anybody ever had a bad, old, nasty, ugly thought that just penetrated into your mind and it got there and you couldn't help it and it happened? You've lost control of your thought process. You must gain back control of that old, ugly thought. And how is it that we get rid of that bad thought? Maybe mom or dad has scolded us, so you know, if we're a young person and we've had a bad thought about them. Or maybe some of our neighbors or friends, we've had a bad thought about them. Or maybe some of us older folks who are out there in our world and we're going about our daily routine and we've had bad thoughts about some of our neighbors and friends. The only way I know that you will ever be able to gain control of bad thoughts is to make sure that you put a good thought in there to push it out with. And the way that you do that is to begin to count your blessings. And that's how I do it. I begin to count the blessings that God has blessed me with, starting with life itself. Now, whenever you think about self-control, the Bible said, be ye angry, and what? Sin not. Okay? He didn't say it was all right. He just said, when you become angry, be careful to maintain self-control and not sin. Let me tell you one of the basic things that I think people need to be careful with. Whenever a person loses control in their anger, they need to be very, very careful with the things they say. Not only with the things they say, but the things they do. Be careful to understand that sometimes the things that you can say in a fit of anger, you cannot take back. It will irreparably damage, and you cannot keep it from it. So be very cautious and careful with the things that you say. Don't say, "I hate you," unless you hate someone. And I'll tell you, the Bible teaches us not to do so. It's very important for us to understand this self-control. Let not the sun, he said, go down upon your wrath. Neither, he said in verse 27, look at this now, neither give place to the devil. You know what happens when you become angry? Sometimes he's very quick to get you and keep you because you didn't maintain your self-control. Now, I'm carrying you in a new direction today. Someone said, "Well, now, preacher, we do all of these things. If that's the case, then you don't have to worry about the things that old Gary's preaching about today. But if you're not doing these things, then this is a new direction that we need to go in. We need to be very cautious and careful to maintain better self-control in our lives." I tell you, it's awful hard. I don't get to watch the news anymore at my house. You know, the reason is those things are very difficult to deal with sometimes. Have you ever noticed how it is that whenever you turn on that old idiot tube that I call it, that whenever you turn it on, most everything you hear is bad? You don't hear much good anymore. Everything's bad. And so it puts into us a negative thought. And it causes us to become, well, anxiety sets in, and then we become angry, and then the next thing you know, we're fussing with those that we love the most around us, and they didn't have anything to do with it. You see, there are all kind of outside forces out there that cause us to lose control of our lives sometimes. Let it not be that those outside forces can cause us to lose control in our lives. And so number three, the direction in which you're going to go in today is maintaining better in your lives self-control with the things you say and the things you do and the reactions that you may involve yourself with. Number four, I think that this one hinges a little bit on that thought, because I want us today to go in the direction of helping us to have a better mindset. Did you know that if you go around all the time with a frown on your face and a scowl on your lips, that it won't be long until that becomes contagious and everybody that sees you is going to be frowning and scowling? It's awful hard to meet a good smiling, happy face with a scowl and a frown. Now, I'm here today to tell you that we need to go in the proper direction when it comes down to helping us to have a better mindset. There are a lot of people who do not think positively. Everything's bad. Anybody know anybody like that? It don't matter what you do to try to cheer that person up or to talk to that person about what's good, they're going to tell you what's bad. Every time you meet them, they're going to tell you what's bad. We used to have a lady in the congregation, and all of us fellows knew just as well that it was forbidden for us to ask her how she was doing. Because by the time she finished telling us how she was doing, we were ready to be pallbearers at her funeral. That's how bad things were. Well, let me tell you something. I want today to promote in your life, young and old, that you leave here today with a positive mindset, that you begin to think of the things that are good, the things that are wholesome, the things that are positive. Now, what does the Bible teach in that direction? Whenever we read in the Bible, he said, "And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind," in Ephesians 4, verse 23, verse 24 says, "And that you put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness." Isn't it wonderful to be around positive people that want something out of life and that want to go to heaven when this life is over? It's a wonderful thing to be around people that are energetic and full of zeal, and they have positive attitude, and they're willing to work, and they get out here and they really put everything they got into life, and they enjoy the moment in which they live. And I tell you, you better enjoy it, because it's so short. "For life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while." And the Bible said it vanisheth away. It's so important for us to realize. I may stop right here and tell y'all something. When Matthew went to the mailbox the other day and he got this little pamphlet out that that Emerson had mailed me, he came in and he said, "Dad," he said, "I don't know who this fella is up there preaching at Menlo. I thought you were going to hold a meeting up there." I said, "Yes, son, I am. I'm supposed to." And he said, "Dad, look at this fella here." He said, "He's probably 20, 25 years younger than you are." I said, "Son, that's me." He said, "Is that you, Dad?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Emerson just didn't have a current picture." He said, "Well, Dad, those people are going to be disappointed when you get up there and they see this old man standing there, and this fella's supposed to be there that's a young fella, got a beard and all." Let me tell you, life is so short, guys. Life is so short. Whenever you read in your Bible, and we're talking about a new direction, let us have a better mindset. And that you put on a new man, that you put on a new man which after God is created in righteousness, that you do those things that are pleasing in the sight of God, and that you have this better mindset of thinking positive. Thinking positive. In Ephesians 4:14, this one is going to be one that I've got to get everybody involved. Not only do I want to take you in the direction of having a better mindset, but I want to take you in the direction of finding some maturity in our spiritual and mental lives. Maturity. Do you know there are a lot of people out there, the preacher can preach something that doesn't set well in their life, and you know what they'll do? They'll leave the church and go somewhere else. And sometimes they'll leave the church and they'll never come back. Just because. And it's kind of like, you know, whenever you read in the pages of the book, he said, "Am I your enemy because I tell you what? The truth?" Well now, in all honesty, this is so important for us to realize. I want to take you in this direction. I want you to find some maturity. There are going to be some people that say things to you that's going to hurt your feelings along the way. And moms and dads, if you haven't taught your children that yet, believe it or not, children can be cruel one to another. Young people can be tough one on another. If you've not taught your children that sometimes people are going to say things that's going to hurt your feelings, you need to be teaching them that. I want us to find in the new direction in which we're going in today the direction of maturity in our lives. I once said in an audience of people, there was a preacher preaching. He was bragging about how many people he had been able to run away from the church. The man had the most sarcastic, negative tone in his preaching I've ever seen in my entire life. He did preach the truth, I'll give him that. But his negative attitude, his sarcasm, his very mannerism, there was not ever a smile. There was never any love in his heart when he was preaching that glorious old word of God. He was pounding and beating and screaming and hollering and using things and holding beer cans up and having little bikini bathing suits, and he was bringing all this in, and he was running people as far away from the church as you could run them. And he was bragging about it. My grandpa was sitting on the front bench, and he and I, of course I had to sit on the front bench too because grandpa wouldn't let you sit nowhere else. And grandpa said, "When this is over, son," said, "you might want to stand out just a little bit." He said, "I got to give this man a lesson out of God's book." I stood outside where I could listen. That old man carried that man to the pits of hell and talking to him about love and kindness and compassion and truth and how to preach that glorious gospel that Jesus died for and brought into existence. By the time Grandpa was finished with that man, he was ashamed of what he had been doing. But it was too late. The church was already at four or five people, and he was running those people away as well. You see, I want to set you in the mindset today. This truth that I'm preaching to you today is out of love and appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. It's the only way I know that you can ever go to heaven is through the truth of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to find maturity in our spiritual and mental lives. Now listen to what he said. "That we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro," he said, "and carried about with every wind of doctrine." People like the idea that I can attend a church wherever I want to that'll preach whatever it takes to fit my lifestyle that I choose to live. That's not the way it works. we're going to have to walk the straight and narrow. For straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few that be that find it. And the gospel is not going to be a deviating doctrine. It's going to be straight. It's going to be truth. Everything in it is going to fit our lives in perspective of the fact that that's what Jesus said. It's a technical thing. It's going to have to be just as what the Lord said it would be. And so whenever you think about maturity, let us not be children anymore tossed about with every wind of doctrine. You know, how hard would it be for someone to run you away from the Lord's church today? The only way, I have said it 1,000 times, I would ever change congregations is if someone was preaching in error, and I could not change that. If I could not change them from preaching or teaching in error, I would have to find somewhere that I could go to hear the truth of the gospel preached. It's very important for us to understand if the truth is being preached and it's being preached in love, there is no reason in the world that we cannot stand up to a difficult situation. If it were to be that we found ourselves in disagreement, I can guarantee you as I stand before you right now today that probably some of these men would have some form of disagreement with me on something somewhere in the Bible. We might not see it just exactly alike. It would say the same thing to them as it says to me. But for some reason or another, the human side of us would not allow us to look at it in the same perspective. We would disagree. But how is it that we're supposed to disagree? We're supposed to disagree in love, to the understanding that we're different people. It does not take away from the fact that I need to find some spiritual maturity, that if we disagree, we can sit down, we can read, and we can study about it, and we can talk about it. I have a very dear friend, this denominational preacher down there, of the largest denominational congregation in that particular area. He and I have lunch quite frequently together, and we discuss and talk about the Bible all the time. And he'll say, look, have you ever thought about this? And I'll say, yes, but have you ever thought about this? And we talk and we go back and forth with one another with book, chapter, and verse, and we talk to each other, and we still love each other. And one of these days, I hope and pray God that he'll give me the wisdom and the knowledge and the fortitude to be able to convert this man to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so important for us to find spiritual maturity where we're always not that individual that have that little thing on our shoulder, and if somebody doesn't look just exactly right whenever they look at us, we're offended by it. If somebody's not preaching something and we disagree with it, that we're offended by it. If it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, if it's the truth, we're going to have to find spiritual maturity to be able to deal with those things. Give consideration to what that verse said. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. That we be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's what we want. Now let us carry us one step further. Not only do I want to carry you in that direction of finding spiritual maturity, but I want us to, in Galatians 5:26, don't ever let it be always me, myself, and I. I want us to consider others. I want to send you in the direction this morning. Help us to consider others more. To give credit. To give encouragement more readily. To understand how to be happy for all people. Did you know that there are a lot of people out there that cannot be happy for someone else if something good happens to them in their life because of that thing called envy? There are some people that are so very jealous of others. That's a sad thing. I talked to a young lady just the other day. A very pretty young lady. I guess if you were going to grade her outward appearance, you probably would have to say on a scale of 1 to 10, she's probably a 12. She's like a lot of these little girls and all that are sitting in this audience. They're all beautiful. God does not look on the outward appearance of man, but he looks on the inward appearance. And she said to me, she said, "Preacher," she said, "people are hating me because of the way I look." I said, "Honey, you can't help the way you look." I said, "That's just what God did. He put you here looking the way you do." I said, "God does not look on the outward appearance. He looks on the inward appearance." I said, "And how we grow ourselves, and I'm sending you in this direction today, how we grow ourselves is that we look at that person from the beauty standpoint." I know a little example that I want to share with you today. There's a young lady down there. She's a member of the Lord's church. She's married to a fella who's blind. He cannot see. He's never been able to see. He was blind from birth. This lady is one of the most beautiful people I've ever known. She's one of the kindest, most gracious people I've ever known. She can do all things. It's just unimaginable what she can do. But she's afflicted. She has all kind of problems. And this old fellow that's blind, he said to me, he said, "Preacher, I wish that everybody could have a wife as beautiful as mine." I said, "You're right. I wish they could too." I said, "Troy, you got one of the most beautiful women." He said, "Oh, I know." He said, "I wished I could lay eyes on her, but," he said, "I can tell you what, I know she's beautiful." He said, "Man, she is fabulous with everything she's about." And I thought, what if we could be that way? What if we could look and see that individual on the inside? What if we could know that person for what they were on the inside? What if we could be more godly and we could see people for what they were on the inside? And I taught that little girl, I said, "Listen, you be as beautiful on the inside to people as you are on the outside, and they'll quit hating you. They'll learn to love you because you're kind and compassionate and caring and understanding, and you're a wonderful human being, and they'll love you. They'll love you for more than just what's on the outside." Whenever you think about helping us to consider other people, let us not have the desires. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, the Bible said. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. No, that wouldn't work. Galatians 5:26. But rather help us to consider others, to give more credit. You know, if somebody does something good, what is wrong with telling them they were good at it? What is wrong with telling them, and you know, I'm one of the world's worst. I will tell you this morning, if you want to talk about criticism, you're talking to the wrong person right here. Because I'm not much on that. I don't think that's a tool that a lot of people have the maturity to use. That's a tool sometimes that people use, and they use it out of context, so to speak, and they do a lot more harm than they do help. I know a little boy that was playing ball not too long ago. He was a wonderful little ball player. His dad was probably one of the best in the country. But his problem was he couldn't see it in his son. And everything that little boy did, his dad criticized him for it because he didn't do it right. It wasn't long till the little boy laid his glove down. And he walked off. And he said, "Dad, I don't want to play no more." He said, "I just can't do it." His dad had criticized him long enough and hard enough that he really believed that he couldn't do it. Now this kid had all the potential to be one of the best of the best. He just didn't know it because nobody had the courage to encourage him. You see, that's what I'm telling you about today. I want you to leave here with the finer points of being a Christian, but I want you to leave here with a new direction of helping people whenever they do good, to understand that they've done good. And you know, even if they don't do so good, it wouldn't hurt to tell them they did, because I tell you what, they'll do better the next time if you do it with encouragement. There's so much in the Bible, more than 54 times in the Bible, we're encouraged to encourage others. You know, that's so important in our lives. Let us be very quick to tell someone, "You're beautiful, you look good today, things are great." People, there's nothing wrong with that. The encouragement that we can give one another will send people in the right direction. Whenever you make it a happy time when people come to church, whenever you make it a happy time when you're studying God's Word and you're talking about God's book, when you encourage people, they'll want to come back and they'll want to be there in the study of God's Word. We need to be more careful in our new direction to consider other people. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. It just will not work. Last and final this morning, and then we're going to be finished. Romans 15:14. In finding this new direction, not only do I want you to find more patience in your life and walk the walk of the righteous, to maintain better self-control and to have a better mindset, to find spiritual maturity in your life and consider other people, but this is what I want you to do as well. Help us, Lord, to increase our knowledge. Help us, Lord, to increase our knowledge. I myself, he said in Romans 15:14, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness. He said, filled with all knowledge and able to admonish one another. I want you to grow in knowledge. The only way you'll ever grow in knowledge concerning God's Word is to be in the services of the church, to read and study your Bible, to be in Bible study, to be ready to every good work. People have said to me over the years, I've had some of these high-powered, so to speak, preachers call me and say, you cannot prove to me, preacher, that we have to go to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. No, sir, I cannot take the Bible and prove to you Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can tell you without the good works of a Christian, of wanting to study their Bible and to be in the services of the Lord's church, you will not get to go to heaven. I can prove that to you. For not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, that's who it is that's going to go to heaven. And that person that does the will of the Father is that person that's ready, eager, and willing to be in Bible study, to increase their knowledge and to know about God, to understand the format of what God gave us in the way of destruction. Now, I said the other night when I was talking to all those young people, I told my son, I said, you want to make your dad the saddest man on the face of the earth? You want to break my heart to the point it can't be repaired? You quit serving God. You quit reading your Bible. And you quit being a child of His. You'll make me the saddest person on the face of the earth. I said, and if after I'm gone you quit, you'll know I'm still the saddest person that ever lived. You see, what does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then lose his own soul? What is it that's more important than that of understanding what it takes to go to heaven? So this new direction that I'm carrying in today in the seven-step program that I call it, the last and final one is the one that I want to increase our knowledge with. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing that word of truth. There are a lot of people that don't even know how many books there are in the Old Testament or the New Testament. They don't know anything about the law, the history, the poetry, the prophecy. They don't know anything about any of the book itself because they're more involved in other things out in the world and what some man has said than they are the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I want to encourage you to increase your knowledge about God's book. Get into the pages of it and study it. There's some of the most wonderful stories you could ever imagine. Sunday night is our story time at Lebanon where I preach. Every Sunday night I tell a story, a Bible story, and I use the scripture to do it with. And some of those people are so fascinated by the fact that those stories are in the Bible. They say, I didn't even know it was there. And now you do. Go home and read it and go home and study it. Our last and final step today is to increase your knowledge. My words as we close out today is help us all, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to be better, a better servant, a better person this year. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding of how to accomplish our goals, how to make this life a better place for all who know us, how to do it. These things that I've talked to you about today, they're very, very important to your life in a new direction. If you're not a Christian, in order to become a Christian, there's a five-step plan of salvation the Bible speaks of. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You're going to have to believe Jesus is the Son of the living God with all of your heart. You're going to have to be willing to repent of your sins, and you're going to have to confess Him with your mouth. To simply acknowledge, as Matthew 10 and 32 tells us, except you confess me before men, I'll not be able to confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Understand now, I want to know Jesus, and I want Jesus to know me. And I want Him to tell His Father, this man I know. Amen. I've known him all of his life. He's a good man. He's one of our children. And unless we confess Jesus before men with our mouth, of acknowledging Him, of teaching and showing others the way to go to heaven, that's how we do it. And then we're going to have to be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins. Amen. We've got to be a person willing to have those sins washed away, because there's no other way in the world we can get rid of them except through obedient faith of having them washed away in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of sins. If after we've done that, we are a Christian, sin comes back into our life, and it does. If it separates us from God, in the which the Bible teaches us that it does, I don't want to be separated from the Lord. The only way I know that you can keep from that is through allowing the precious blood of Jesus Christ to do its job as it cleanses you from all sin, as you repent of your sins. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm sorry. It's just like all those young people that responded the other night to the invitation. Every single one of them said, Brother Gary, I sinned. I'm sorry. That's what it's all about. Nothing wrong with being strong enough to stand up and say, I repent of my sins. I'm sorry. I don't want to go there anymore. I want it over with. I want it gone. The precious blood of Jesus Christ will do its job if you'll do yours in repentance. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, please, if you will, respond while together we stand and sing.
Who at the door is